Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy
you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 32. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses.
Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins.
The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, Send her away, for she is crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, yesterday morning, I was working downstairs in my office at home when Lisa messaged me. That's how we communicate. We message. She's upstairs, I'm downstairs. And she told me to turn on CNN as they were showing the funeral mass of Justice Antonin Scalia. So I did, and I watched, and I was amazed. What was particularly amazing to me was watching and listening to the homily preached by Father Paul Scalia, Justice Scalia's son. It was amazing because it was actually chocked full of law and gospel. It was made clear that Justice Scalia was a sinner whose only hope was Jesus Christ. And it was also made clear that the same is true of all of us sinners. Christ and his salvific work for sinners was at the heart of that entire homily from beginning to end. And the resurrection was emphasized over and over again. Jesus baptized Justice Scalia, his son said. Jesus nourished him with his word, he said. Jesus fed him with his very body and blood in the Holy Eucharist, he said. Jesus was given all the credit for bringing his father into and sustaining him in the faith. In fact, if it wasn't for the few minutes in the homily where purgatory and the need to pray for Justice Scalia was referenced, it would have been pretty close to perfect. And certainly something that any Lutheran pastor could and should readily preach at funerals. Actually, if you take out those few minutes, it was more Lutheran than many of the Lutheran funeral sermons that actually get preached. I bring this up simply to say this. In the end, there really is no choice but to believe, teach, and confess what our Lutheran confessions believe, teach, and confess about salvation. When you're in the hour of deepest need, as we just sang, when you're staring death in the face, you are stripped away of any of the self-righteous, works-righteous nonsense you may have held before. When you're staring death in the face, neither the works-righteous, faith-plus-works system of salvation, nor the self-help silliness of pop Christianity will do you an ounce of good. When you're staring death in the face, neither the Pope nor the Joel Osteens or Joyce Meyers of this world can do you any good. When you're staring death in the face, your only hope is that the Lutherans have been right all along in preaching that Jesus has done everything necessary for your salvation and that you are justified or saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Anything short of that, any attempt to look at yourself and your works to determine your worthiness of going to heaven when you're in that hour of deepest need, when you're staring death in the face, any of those kinds of attempts will land you straight in the pit of despair. Now, I don't say this to brag, as if I'm suggesting that we Lutherans are so much better than anyone else, or that only Lutherans go to heaven or something like that. You have all probably heard the joke about St. Peter walking the new guy through the halls of heaven and telling him to be really quiet when he passes that certain room because that's where the Lutherans are and they think they're the only ones here. So I don't say this to brag about being Lutheran. Good Lord, spare us from such a thing, for we Lutherans know far too well how unworthy we are of being boasted about. But I will brag about the doctrine of salvation that we Lutherans officially believe, teach, and confess. I have to add that disclaimer, officially, because what we officially believe, teach, and confess is not always what is actually put into practice. but what we do officially believe, teach, and confess, what is contained in our Lutheran confessions regarding the doctrine of salvation, is indeed something that can be and should be bragged about. For to do so is simply to say or to echo what St. Paul is saying, that we will boast of nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That we will boast of nothing but Christ and His cross. For dear friends, that's what we officially believe, teach, and confess. That nothing except Jesus and His cross pertains to our salvation. Examples of this truth, of this assertion, of this confession abound in Holy Scripture. Indeed, from Genesis to Revelation, this is the system of salvation revealed to us by our Lord, that we have nothing to offer Him, and that He alone saves us. We have two such examples put before us today on this second Sunday in Lent. First, we have Jacob, and the account of him wrestling with the Lord, refusing to let Him go until he receives a blessing, and being named Israel, or renamed, I should say, Israel. Jacob is there in what he later calls Peniel, because the Lord has brought him there. The Lord has told him, "Go here, Jacob, I have something to do to you." And so Jacob is brought there. For the Lord brings him there to save him. The Lord will save him, and He does save Jacob. And He does, after He saves him, He does give him a new name. It is all the Lord's doing. He gets 100% of the credit. Yes, Jacob wrestled with the Lord, but that's only because the Lord dragged him into the wrestling ring and wrestled with him first. The Lord gets all the credit. And the Lord blesses Jacob, whose name means deceiver, and gives him the new name Israel, which literally means strives with God, but if you flesh it all out, it ends up meaning strives with God, but God conquers. The point is that the Lord will save those whom He will save. It is all His doing, and He will even save deceivers and thieves and liars like our father Jacob. And then we have the example of the Canaanite woman, who may be the greatest example of what true faith looks like in all of Scripture. After all, she is a lowly Canaanite, a descendant of the pagan peoples who were the enemies of the Israelites. And it seems as though Jesus treats her as such. He ignores her at first. She comes crying out to Him, and He just pretends like He doesn't hear her. Then, when she continues crying after Him, the disciples come to Him and says, "Lord," and say, "Lord, take her away from us. She is yelling after us, bothering us, this pagan woman that we should have nothing to do with." And Jesus says, "Yeah, you're right. But I'm not going to talk to her because I was only sent to the house of Israel." And then, not giving up, this Canaanite woman comes and throws herself down before Jesus and begs, "Help me, Lord." And you think at this point Jesus will have compassion and help her, but instead He drops that bomb, that famous bomb. He calls her a dog. All of this is not because our Lord just felt like being rude that day, but He is teaching His disciples and us what true faith looks like. For His disciples had not yet learned the lesson. As we heard a couple weeks ago, the blind beggar who cried out after Jesus, he had faith while His disciples didn't yet understand. They think faith plus works is the way to salvation. They think Jesus will be the ultimate Messiah who will establish an earthly kingdom. They're not ready to beg. And so Jesus uses this example and pushes this woman to the edge because He knows that she has great faith and that she will not let Him go. He calls her a dog. but she has faith. She will not be deterred. She is like Jacob wrestling with the Lord, refusing to let him go until he receives a blessing. So this Canaanite woman, she cries out for mercy and help. And when she is called a dog, when it seems as though that mercy and help will not be given to her, she confesses, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Yes, Lord. Amen, Lord. You are right, Lord. I am a dog. I have no qualms with you about that. I'm not going to argue with you about that. I am a dog. I don't deserve what I'm asking of you. Yet, even the dogs are worthy of your mercy. Dear friends, that is faith. For faith, first and foremost, is born of repentance. It recognizes that it has nothing at all to offer the Lord, and that on the contrary, what it deserves is what we confess week in and week out: temporal and eternal wrath and punishment. Faith, first and foremost, is born of contrition or sorrow over sin, recognizing that we have not been the people our Lord would have us be. Faith, first and foremost, is born of the honest assessment that it needs to cry out to the Lord for mercy. The Canaanite woman shows forth her faith in having no problem with being called a dog, for she knows this is exactly what she is in relation to her Lord Jesus Christ. But she also shows forth her faith in refusing to let him go, like Jacob in his wrestling match with the Lord. That's the other part of faith, that it clings to Jesus as its only hope, that faith cries out to Jesus for mercy, for faith knows that he is the only one who can answer that plea for help. And he does. He always does. He does have mercy. He has mercy on Jacob. He has mercy on this Canaanite woman. And dear friends, he has mercy on you. On you sinners, even you Lutheran sinners, who cry out to him for mercy. It's why he came. It's the only reason he came. To have mercy on sinners, all sinners. Sinners like you. He came to fulfill all the law in your place so that he would have that mercy to give. He came to bear all of your sins in his own body, paying for them all with his own precious blood on the cross so that he would have that mercy to give. For it is by that mercy that you are saved. That is the only way you are saved. There is nothing you can do to add to or take away from the salvation Jesus accomplished for you on the cross. That's why I'm a Lutheran, dear friends. For that's exactly what Lutherans officially believe, teach, and confess, even if we don't often practice what we preach. If you have a chance to look up Father Paul Scalia's funeral sermon for his dad, I would encourage you to do so. It's online. You can find it. You all know how to Google. Go there and watch it or read it, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about. When death is staring you in the face, you really have no other choice but to put your hope, all of your hope, in Jesus Christ, who overcame death, who rose from the tomb on the third day, that you would have life eternal. When you're staring death in the face, you actually end up sounding pretty darn Lutheran, even if you're a Roman Catholic. The trick, of course, is to realize that death is always staring you in the face, because it is. And when you realize that, you will confess, by the power of the Holy Spirit, "Yes, Lord, I am a dog. I am a poor, miserable sinner who only deserves your temporal and eternal wrath and punishment. have mercy on me, for even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from your table. And when the Holy Spirit leads you to confess that, then he also leads you to come and feast at the table of your Lord, where the death that is staring you in the face is overcome by the bread of life you receive there. For there at the holy altar, you receive not merely scraps left to the dogs, but a holy meal reserved for the Lord's family. Those who have been given a new name have received the sign of the Holy Cross upon their hearts and foreheads to mark them as redeemed by Christ the crucified and have been welcomed into the Lord's eternal kingdom. There at the holy altar, you receive forgiveness, life, and salvation as you come like that Canaanite woman, begging the Lord for mercy, throwing yourselves down upon your knees and saying, "Oh Lord, help me." And he does. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old, and they are still here today. And the Lord responds, "I do remember. Take, eat, take, drink. Do this in remembrance of me, and live." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
before we continue with the prayer of the church, we want to take a few minutes here to welcome a new member into our fellowship, Mary Keene, who is transferring to us from Florida. So, Mary. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your heart, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism? If so, then say, "Yes, I do."
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, then say, "Yes, I renounce them."
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God, the Father, Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? If so, say, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I believe.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God, and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the small catechism to be faithful and true? If so, then say, "I do."
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? If so, then say, "I do, by the grace of God."
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? If so, then say, "I do, by the grace of God."
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, then say, "I do, by the grace of God."
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become a member of this congregation? If so, then say, "I do."
I do.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and with the gifts that God has given you? If so, then answer, "I will, with the help of God."
I will, with the help of God.
Upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with you. Let us pray. For the Holy Church, that by grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, all the baptized would cling to Christ in steadfast faith, refusing to let him go until their baptismal garments are cleansed in his blood, and they are blessed by his word of forgiveness and benediction of peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors in Christ, that they would be faithful to their charge to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name to all people. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our parish, that we would examine ourselves during this holy season of Lent, cry out to our Lord for mercy, and filled with his grace, generously support the preaching of the gospel here and abroad, loving one another as he has loved us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations and all entrusted with public service, that they would govern wisely and selflessly, putting the common good before their own interests, so that peace and justice would dwell in all lands. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those ensnared in the trap of addiction and destructive behaviors, that they find freedom and relief from those agencies and programs which exist for their benefit, and for God's people to pray for them and mercifully assist them in their struggles as they are able, that they might ultimately find the peace that only our Lord can give. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who cry out in anguish for the healing hand of God upon their lives, especially for those who have requested our prayers, including Bill Harmon, David Gursky, Arlene Miller, Ella Shaw, Corinne Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Scott McCollum, Landon Culp, Charles Shaw, Margaret Doobie, Lloyd Doobie, James Whiting, Maxine Cole, David Jerry Gerard, Sherry Shaw, Pastor Dan Chambers, Sally Messer, Miriam Soul, Cameron Snell, John Lemmerman, Brandy Bradley, Jane Tennant, Kimberly Tolk, Katie Jacklett, John Myers, Cheryl Myers, Noah Truesdell, and Richard Golick, that they would be comforted in their afflictions, strengthened in their faith, and healed according to the Lord's will in this life or the next. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who approach the holy table of our Lord this day, that they would come in the faith of the Canaanite woman, recognizing their own unworthiness, but believing that our Lord Jesus Christ would feed them all the same, not merely with crumbs, but with his very body and blood, for the forgiveness of their sins and strengthening of their faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the saints who have gone before us and now rest from their labors in the loving arms of our Savior, let us give thanks and praise to our Father in heaven, asking him to bring us with them to the eternal joy of the new heavens and new earth to come, when our Lord Jesus Christ returns in great glory on the last day. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is sweet and right.
And salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory.
Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."